Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Well, Jessica, it is my birthday week, so you better bow down to the birthday queen. As you're listening to this, it's already been my birthday. It's dead and gone.
If you didn't wish Sarah a happy birthday, you're dead to her.
You're dead to me. I'll remember it forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's nothing more than I like than a making a big fucking deal about my birthday.
I mean, I'm the same way. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I love about us. I mean, those people out there that don't like to talk about their birthday, don't like to share that it's their birthday, don't like celebrating their birthday. That's not for us. We are birthday queens.
No, I want a day that's all about me. And all about me. That's what my birthday is. Yeah.
Now, I'm expecting tomorrow to be extremely mediocre. So I'm not expecting any fun at all, actually. Yeah. Like, I think the most that we're going to do, like, Drew asked me, like, what I wanted. I said that I really wanted sushi. So now I have it in my mind that I want sushi tomorrow. So that's going to be my big birthday dinner. There should be some presents. There might be a sweet treat on the horizon. So
what is that, a cake?
Yeah, like I said, I wanted a cake. He was like, oh, I can get you pastries. I'm like, no, buns, because I want cake. Because
what kind of cake do you want?
I'm a fan of vanilla.
Okay.
I just want a basic B cake. But I do like having like fruit in the middle. I don't know what we're going to get. He is hopefully going to bring me home something that I will enjoy. And if he gets me something that I don't like, then I will riot.
That sounds completely reasonable. I totally get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if he brings home the chocolate pudding ring, I will throw this entire house on fire.
What the fuck is a chocolate pudding ring? What the fuck is that?
It's like a ring, a chocolate cake ring that has like pudding-ish. So it's kind of moist and it has like crumblies on top. But
what
the fuck? I don't want a ring for my birthday. Get me a birthday cake.
I've literally never heard of whatever that is. And it sounds gross. It sounds like flan.
No, it's not flan.
No one likes flan.
It's just a cake. It's just a cake in a ring shape, but I don't want it. I want a birthday cake now, but I don't want to be a birthday diva anymore. So I am going to ask you, how are you on the eve of my birthday?
How am I handling it being the day before your birthday? Well, your present arrived, so I'm stress-free.
Oh, yeah.
So that is lovely. Yes. And the card, did the card arrive too?
The card has arrived. Yeah.
Wonderful. Love it. Mm-hmm. So that makes me very happy. I was very nervous because I feel like ever since Christmas, the mailing situation has not been ideal. I think maybe with COVID, like these just postal workers are just overworked.
Yes, and of course.
I was nervous stuff wouldn't arrive on time. But yes. No, I am good. Typical Monday, honestly. Monday fucking shenanigans as always. But I'm good. I'm happy to be here. It's a March. We're here during March. Mary-Kate and Ashley March, which is a lovely month to be celebrating on the eve of the day of your birth. And I'm good. Oh, update on television watching.
Yes, please. Dying to know.
I am halfway through the third season of Dark, so I'm almost to the end. I'm trying to figure out what I want to watch next, and I think I might watch Kim's Convenience because I've heard good things. It's a sitcom, and I've heard good things.
I've never heard of that in my life.
It's a Canadian sitcom.
Oh, so, okay.
But also, Will and I started the show Ozark. Don't send me spoilers. I don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond I've heard good things, and I love Jason Bateman. And we watched like 3 or 4 episodes already. We're really enjoying it.
Yeah, well, too bad because Jason Bateman gets 3 puppies in the second episode. And then he like takes a trip to Hawaii. So I'm sorry I spoiled it.
I thought you were going to tell me that Jason Bateman was canceled for a second and I was going to be heartbroken.
No, I've never seen Ozark, but I wanted to give you fake spoilers.
I've already seen episode 2, so I knew he didn't get puppies, but that would have been great.
That's unfortunate. Where's his puppies? That.
Yeah.
Jason Bateman can have puppies too, you know.
Yeah. But yes, anyway, are you indulging in a 90s nightcap tonight?
No, I'm not. I'm just sticking with the H2O. I gotta tell you, as a person that is on the eve of their second anniversary of their 30th birthday, I had some like red wine yesterday while we were recording our bracket for Mary-Kate and Ashley March, and I was knocked out for like the rest of the day. I don't know if it was like very taxing on me or if the red wine is fighting back at my old age, but I've decided to just stick with some H2O today. Mm-hmm. Poland Spring representing again.
Sponsor us, Poland Spring, please.
Sponsor us, please. I bought 3 cases of Poland Spring water yesterday. So I'm still repping hard. How about you?
Yeah, I'm indulging in a Barefoot Bubbly champagne. I did not drink yesterday, but I do agree. Like after we recorded that bracket, I was like dead to the world. I was exhausted. Yeah.
We didn't hear from each. Normally, like we like check in and we're like, yeah, like I think that went great. Like yada yada yada. You and I like didn't speak until
like this morning. Oh, it was later, right?
I did say hi or something, but no, we really didn't speak yesterday.
Yeah, and we talk a lot, so that was really rare. Yeah, we were both just zonked. But but yeah, so that's what I'm drinking today. I earned it on a Monday. You know, sometimes a Monday is just gonna Monday.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the reason we are here, besides talking about Sarah's birthday, is we are talking Boy Meets World Season 2, Episode 4, Me and Mr. Jode. Which, like, I didn't look this up, but is Jode a character from Grapes of Wrath?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. I meant to look that up, and I didn't, so I'm glad you did. Unless you just knew it.
The Jodes are within the Grapes of Wrath. That is so.
I tried reading Grapes of Wrath once, and it was very boring, and I stopped.
I mean, I think that it was likely a reading assignment at one point in school. It seems as though they have the same curriculum as I did. So up next will be Of Mice and Men, which I hate that book.
Oh, I love
whatever.
That book. It's so good.
No. Whenever there's animals involved, you know, I have a soft spot. I don't want any animals in my books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the tough part. But so we start off the episode. Corey's reading Grapes of Wrath and Amy's like super impressed until she discovers he's reading it backwards because he's a moron.
Yeah, like he was on the last few pages. Amy was really floored, but it didn't last long because he was reading the last pages. He was going like backwards.
And I don't understand how that's ever going to work. Like, well, you're not going to grasp the stories.
No, I guess the only thing is if you read the last 20 pages of a book and you're spoiled as to what's going to happen, then maybe you can pick up on certain clues or context clues throughout the beginning of the book, if you are actually going to read the beginning of the book, because then you can be like, oh, like this person is seeming suspicious, or this person has a motive that isn't obvious to you unless you read the end of the book. But ultimately, what do you think? Is this a better idea than Corey's first idea, his great plan of taking all 30 showers in the first day of the month?
I mean, that is so gross because, like, he says, like, oh, I was too clean in February. And it's like, okay, but you didn't talk about, like, by the 20th day of you not showering, like, how rank you must be. And these are teenagers. Like, they're hormonal. They're stinky.
Yeah. Yes.
That's disgusting.
I think that you would probably get a rash if you took a 28 showers in a day.
Yeah. And you run out of hot water 100%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, you're raking up poor Alan's water bill. Like, he is trying to save money where he can, and you're really raking up the water bill. And honestly, it's wasteful. Yeah. It California has no water. It's
well, they're
very
in Philadelphia.
Rude.
So
Okay. Well, I don't know about them in Philadelphia, but California
regardless, it's
water.
A stupid idea. Corey has a very lot of bad. Dumb ideas. And this is when Eric comes running down the stairs, and this is a continuation from the last episode because he's running to try to leave to run an errand for Desiree, his girlfriend, who we met last episode.
Yeah, Miss Desiree has given Eric a hot pink beeper, which I stan.
Of course.
And basically he said, you know, Desiree's beck and call. So he has to do everything that she asks. So this is, you know, whatever chores it may be. So I don't quite remember what he had to do at
this. She needed shampoo. And then she beeped him again and she needed conditioner.
Ah.
Amy was just like, which honestly, that's kind of a big fucking deal. Like, if you run out of shampoo and conditioner, like, no offense. Like, that's kind of, you do need it, but not, you don't
it
need
it is
to, like,
an emergency because you can't use your significant other's shampoo and conditioner. Because
never.
You know what? There's some people that uses a 3-in-1, and that is horrifying.
Truly, truly horrifying. Like, I remember, I don't know who I was even talking to once, and they're like, oh, why do I need conditioner? And I was like, if I did not use conditioner in my hair, I don't even want to know what it would look like.
Yeah. Horrifying. You need conditioner. I need conditioner.
Yes. But yeah, so Amy is like not having it. She's like holding him back. Like, you need to stop. And she like is like, this is not right. You're crazy. And he like does like the juke out. And he escapes out of the house to go help Desiree.
I know. I just think that it's just, I really liked Amy in this episode defending her son, trying to pull the reins in, saying like, you know, it's just not right what Desiree is doing. Don't let her control you. So ultimately, you know, I think that Amy just feels like her sons are like lost. Like, Corey's like quoting a book that he didn't even read. Like, Eric is like done with Desiree. It's just like, it's a mess. So,
She doesn't even recognize them anymore.
No, but at least she's trying to parent. So we're doing a step better than the end of season one. She's not overparenting anymore.
No, and I think that this version of Amy is like the funniest that we've seen because she reminds me a lot of like my parents in this episode of like, you know, obviously you love your kids and you're going to support them and everything, but like poking fun at them when they're being ridiculous, I think is like a little bit important as well. And she does it a lot this episode.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yes, but we're now in Mr. Turner's class. Corey surprisingly answers a question about the Grapes of Wrath, and everyone is like, what is going on? Sean is like, you're a disgrace to the back row.
I loved that, yeah. The back row is very sacred. That is where you bring your, well, in college, I would bring my laptop and play The Sims. The back row is sacred.
Yes, and Sean is disappointed in Corey. And the whole point of the book is, like, powerful people will exploit the powerless. And that's kind of, like, the moral of this whole episode as well. Mm-hmm. And everybody keeps asking questions about the test. When is the test? What's going to be on the test? Is this going to be on the test? And Mr. Turner just gets, like, very frustrated and is like, just forget about the stupid test. I don't care about it. As long as you read the book and you come here to discuss it, there won't be a test.
Yeah. As long as you're an active participant in the discussion, yeah, you'll do good.
Right. And I think that this is, like, a valid strategy for teaching. Like, as long as you can somehow grade them, like, on participation or whether mm-hmm. or not they know the material, then who cares about the test?
I think that's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wish, like, I feel like not a lot of high schools had this type of approach. But I think once you get to college, a lot of them are more in that mindset. If it's a smaller class size, at least, that, like, you can show that you know the material in other ways beyond testing, especially because some people just really aren't good at standardized testing. So
it's not
necessarily a good way to judge if someone understands material.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's one thing to, because tests, it's very easy to memorize facts and then forget it as soon as your test is over. But if you have an active discussion where you show that you understand the concept of the book and the historical context, as, you know, Sean asked what page the historical context was on. But as long as you understand, like, what the book's about and why it's important, then you show that you understand the material. And ultimately, that's why you're reading books. It's not to, you know, it's not to jack up your Goodreads list. It's to, you know, have an understanding, learn different perspectives that you wouldn't know before.
And I think, too, that, like, for me, tests in an English class are also kind of strange. Like, you usually see essays or, like, short answers because it's more about, like, understanding the entire concept than it is, like, it's not like a math test. You know what I mean? Yes. It's very different. So, but one person who does not agree with this method is Judgy Feeney. Judging away again.
Yeah. So, you know, somehow it got around real quick that Turner.
Feeney is a gossip queen. That's how it got around.
And
quick.
Then, but people are perpetuating it by gossiping to him.
You know who he is?
Who is he?
He is. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Well, people, listeners have watched Game of Thrones. Anyway, there's a character named, Varrett. No, what is his name? He's like a bald guy. And he has, like, kids who he calls his spiders. And, like, or no, he's called the spider. And he has what he calls his little birds. And they, like, run around and they, like, bring him back information. Like, everybody's always listening and they bring him the information. Oh, and I feel like that's who Feeny is.
Yeah,
like, he has his birds.
I can see that. Do you think I should watch that show?
No.
No?
No, okay. Because it ended horribly. Don't waste your time. You have many other shows on your list that you need to watch.
I do have a physical list. That is true. Mm-hmm. And Game of Thrones is not on it. I just don't want to miss out on a big aspect of life.
No. It's like done with. Like, if you were going to watch it, I would have said watch it like a few years ago. But like at this point, like, it's done and over with. And people don't even want to talk about it because that's how poorly it ended.
I haven't seen Game of Thrones, Lost, Breaking Bad, or Dexter.
I would say start with Breaking Bad. If I was telling you which of those things to watch, and I love Lost. Don't get me wrong. People don't hate me. I love Lost. But it's very controversial in terms of, like, plot lines and things that it does. And a lot of people weren't happy with it. And I would say Breaking Bad, pound for pound, is one of the best television shows that has ever been made of all time.
Huh.
Because almost every single episode is good.
Is Breaking Bad the one where each character has a color assigned to them?
Yes. And let me tell you, there's a girl who wears purple and literally everything she owns is purple and I'm obsessed with her.
All right. I mean, that can get me interested. I need the visual, you know?
Yeah. And you'll see, like, there's people who've done, like, color maps and they've shown, like, as characters grow and change, so do their clothing colors. They choose different, like, clothing options. So, you know what I mean? Like, someone who's, like, going dark or going bad is wearing more, like, black.
Oh. You know what show also did that? Schitt's Creek. So, in the first episode or the first half of the season, the main four, the family, are all black and white.
Yes.
And
David especially.
David especially. and Moira. So the point is that it takes David initially and Moira a harder time to adjust to Schitt's Creek and that lifestyle. So they stay in those clothes, in the black and white clothes, mm-hmm. while David Rose and Alexis are, in the beginning at least, are more open to a different lifestyle. So their fashion is starting to expand.
I need to rewatch. I love Schitt's Creek. I need to rewatch it.
Yeah. So the fashion in that is incredible. Yeah. And it's actually all designer pieces. The majority is actually designer pieces.
Oh, I knew that. That the crown, the zip tie crown. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Oh, legendary. Legendary.
Yeah. Yeah, that they
you would like, have a fun time talking fashion on that show.
Yeah. Wild. I mean, but you and Josh have shit building.
Oh yes, shit building eventually.
Yeah, Jessica's like shit. Yeah, Jessica's truly like made the claim to all podcasts named shit something.
That's exactly.
You're anything the shit
with
girl.
The word shit in it. I am. I'm just definitely the shit girl. So please call me the shit girl from now on. Well, it's like our listeners are shitheads, right?
So oh yeah, I forgot. I don't know if you guys know that, but behind the scenes, you're the shitheads. Yeah, JD. Shitheads. Thank you very much.
But anyway,
back to
Boy Meets World. Feeny is judgy AF, and he is like, of course, let me tell you, so they're at lunch, right? And Feeny's just like drinking a coffee. That's all he's doing. Drinking coffee at lunch. What a baller move.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
black
need
coffee
don't need
at
sustenance.
Lunch. Yeah.
Black coffee.
Yeah. So basically, Feeny's like, you know what? We gotta do tests. Sorry about it. Turner's like, if my kids know my stuff, then why do I have to take a test or have them take a test to prove it? And then Feeny lies about having a dog. How rude.
I know. And I think it was so funny to me because I'm just like, the minute he said that, I was like, he's definitely lying, right? And then Turner calls him out and I was like, oh yeah, he doesn't
but
have a dog.
Feeny should get a pet because
he's a cat guy.
He's definitely a cat guy. Oh, yesterday I saw somebody get a Sphinx cat. And for like,
are they the naked ones?
Yeah. For legit 5 minutes, I was like full in. I was like, these are kind of cute. Like, I want one. Like, I was like really feeling the Sphinx cat. No?
No.
They're actually pretty cute.
My qualifiers for animals is that they have to be fuzzy. Like, if it's not fuzzy, I don't want it. So that includes, like, I don't want snakes. I don't want lizards. I don't want anything that's not fuzzy. Even, like, dogs, like, I really prefer, and I love all dogs. Don't get me wrong. If you have a dog, I will pet it. 100% gonna happen. Mm-hmm. But I prefer a long-haired dog to a short-haired
dog.
Me
too. I do agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, not just because of, like, the fluff and the pet and the softness, but also, like, when they shed, it's deceiving. You'd think a short-haired dog would be easier to manage, but no, their hair like burrows into your clothes and you can't get it out.
That's true.
And the long-haired dog, it's just like tumbleweeds. But yeah, so Feeny needs a cat because he needs to be preoccupied with something other than micromanaging Mr. Turner, which he's doing. And here's the thing. It pisses me off because then Feeny's like, well, if you think that they don't need the test, then you're going to have to find a way to tell if they actually know the material. And the only way to do that is, guess what? Surprise test.
Yeah, so this is the plan that Feeny comes up with. If you want me to, you know, consider your methods, then consider mine. Take a test, see if they really like go into the day thinking they don't have a test and give them the test anyway, which I do. I mean, we'll get into it, but I do think it's unfair. It would piss me off. I don't like it.
100%. We'll definitely get into that part because that was something I had in mind too.
Yeah.
But we're back at the Matthews residence. Jason comes in hitting on Amy again. Like, stop doing that.
Go away.
Seriously. But Eric is bailing on basketball. He's supposed to play basketball with Jason and he's bailing on him to help Desiree out. His pager is just like constantly going off.
Yes.
And apparently Desiree is waiting outside, waiting for a glass of water.
Yes.
And Amy's like, you're not getting any water. And she sprays him right on the crotch with water.
Yeah,
and I loved this for Amy.
Okay. But I will say that this time, I mean, it's almost Desiree's birthday and like the reason why they're leaving that day is to go to the mall so that she can show him what she wants for her birthday. As a person that's going to have a birthday very soon, I feel like this is important. So just kidding.
I do think it's just like, I actually don't disagree with that, but when it's like every day, it's something
every
else,
day, something. The like beeper's constantly beeping. And she can come in. She has two legs. She can get her own glass of water if she really wants.
Yeah, so she comes in and Eric has like a towel. And she's like, why do you have a dish towel in your trousers?
But before that, she asks Jason, are you over here for a little yard work?
Oh, my God. And she calls him, which doesn't she call him an elf?
Elfin, right?
Elfin, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So Eric says that lightning hit his zipper and his mom had to throw water on it.
Right.
That is my favorite line. My favorite line when he's like, oh, we're going to play basketball. And she says to Jason, you play basketball? Aren't you a little petite? I don't know why that cracks me up so much.
I mean, I gotta say, like, she's a bad bitch, but she is a great character.
100%.
And, you know, she might be the dragon lady, but I love that for her.
But this, like, she's so memorable that, like, she's probably only in these two episodes.
I think she is.
And I distinctly remember her.
I do, too.
It's not that I just remembered her as a character, but I specifically remembered the lines of, like, the pudding and, aren't you a little petite?
Yes.
Like, when you remember things like that, that's an iconic character. So.
Exactly.
And I love the tension between her and Jason. I think it's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's becoming more and more obvious that Eric has less and less time for Jason and his friends, and he's prioritizing and losing a bit of himself in Desiree.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is like, he's too obsessed with her at this point. He'll do anything for her. So.
I want to know, like, do you think that this girl she seems innocent. She seems like just a little Georgia Peach. But, like, what do you think is the leverage here? I feel like this girl told Eric that she would do X, Y, and Z with him.
Mm.
And that's the carrot that's being held over her head. At first, I thought maybe this is something that, like, they're already involved in. But then at the end with this kiss, I realized that I think she's like, I will do this with you.
See,
You're a good boyfriend.
I don't think she said anything. I think he assumes that he'll get XYZ. I think she's too smart for that. I think she just lets him, like, I think she just is a tease a lot of the time, right? Not saying, and I don't mean teases in like a, I don't want to come off like I'm like, why don't you just put out already? That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that, like, I think she's very good at manipulating men to get what she wants.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that she's more menacing than what you would assume. That's why I'm especially saying, like, maybe she, like, really was like, you know what? I'll give you a blowjob if you go get my shampoo. And he's
Would you be able to put all of that on a pager? Or a beeper or whatever?
I would assume so.
BJ for shampoo.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just BJ, the number 4, shampoo. It works.
And then it's HJ for conditioner.
So I think so. Like, I think that is why Eric is such, like, a sloppy dog with him.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I'm trying to think. He says at the end they've been going out for 2 months.
No, for a month, a whole month.
Oh, a month.
And
okay.
What do I get out of this?
Which, like, I mean, good question in terms of, like, emotionally and stuff like that, but it also can kind of come off as like, you're not even putting out, even though I know
that's how I felt. That's why I think up until that line I thought that they were already involved in something, and that line made me think that she is like, we're gonna do this, but first you have to, you know, go take my dog on my cat to get neutered, and we're gonna have to, you know, do this.
She's definitely pulled this con. Like, I wonder if this is the reason they were driven out of Georgia.
Probably.
But we're back in Mr. Turner's class the next day, and Turner hands out a test, and he says, we have to prove to the boss that we can learn this book without taking a test. Sean and Corey are upset. Corey's like, you said that we weren't going to have a test. And Sean is like, I even read the book. And everybody's like, Corey decides that he's not taking the test and he hands it in and everybody follows suit.
Yes.
I think like, so I guess we can stop down and kind of talk about this. I agree with you. Like if I'm the student, this is very unfair. And I think if you're Mr. Turner, all you need to say is we're going to take a test to assess if you know the material, but it won't count against your grades. Like this is not going to be counted.
Oh yeah. That would be, like, that's all that would be good. Yeah. So yeah, the kids obviously feel betrayed. They, you know, were told directly you won't have a test tomorrow. And then as soon as they get into class, they get this test. Mm-hmm. He tries to say it's like a survey, but we all know. We all know.
No, survey says survey test.
Test. So I think that it's just a little bit messed up. And I especially think like somebody that, I mean, it's a good point because it's basically, I was going to say somebody that is like Topanga would have studied really, really hard for a test. Would she have studied less if she didn't think that she had a test tomorrow, but just a discussion? But then again, it's like, okay, but you're supposed to know the material. If you know the material, then you would have aced the test. It's like
there's a difference between knowing the material and studying for a test, right?
Right.
Like if I know I'm just coming in for a discussion on the book, I'm not like learning it cover to cover and taking notes and stuff. Like I'm maybe taking a lot less notes for just a discussion. Exactly. So I think you're not just you're penalizing everybody. And like even the people who normally would study for the test. And I just think like there are other ways, like we see at the end of the episode, there are other ways to test students on the material than just giving them a test. You can ask them discussion questions.
But we don't have time to have a personalized like hangout sesh with each of our students.
Yeah. So Feeny comes in. And he's like, are you, he pulls Mr. Turner aside and he's like, are you out of your mind, man? And he calls him Earring Boy.
Earring Boy.
Which was like, Feeny, you don't need to be like so rude to Mr. Turner.
Condescending. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. And then he's like, my gloating. Favorite, he is. And my favorite is when he says, take the test or die.
Yeah. So, you know, Feeny's like threatening them a little, like he's showing them who's boss, my students. Mm-hmm. And then so Corey just like gets up and fights it. He wants to organize the first student union. They start singing. I think
he does a good job.
He really gets everybody into it and start chanting.
You know what, because we had this discussion last week, right, of like what sign Corey is, and like this episode really turned me around in him being a Leo.
I'm
like,
convinced.
Leo is the one who goes to the front of the class and is like, is this fair? No. Have we been tricked? Yes. Take the test or die? Die. Then we die together. Like, that is a Leo. That is some Leo shit.
Yeah. And he's like singing. He's like making scenes. He's like standing on tables. Like, full Leo energy.
Very Leo energy.
I think that all the singing, if I'm correct, is a Newsies reference, which is, do you know what the Newsies are?
I've heard of
it. So it's a Broadway show, but also, it's also a movie. Both the Broadway show and the movie is on Disney Plus, and they're like paper boys that want to unionize, essentially, in New York. And like they sing and dance and like sing about making unions, so I'm pretty confident that it's a Newsies reference.
Okay.
So the whole class leaves the classroom. Turner like mockingly says that he can learn a lot from Feeny,
and he's like, if I were them, I would have done what they and I had done what or I did to them what I did to them or whatever. Okay. I did the same thing.
I got it.
Yeah.
You want to keep going?
It's so confusing.
Do you want to keep going?
No, you try, please.
Because if I had done to me what I did to them, then I'd have done the same thing to me that they did.
Yeah. Which is true.
It's true. It makes sense when you think about it, but that is a sentence. It's like I said those words and it's like my soul left my body. I have no clue what I just said.
And it does make total sense.
It does. Because if I had done to me what I did to them, then I'd have done the same thing to me that they did.
They did. Yeah, it makes sense. And that's the thing. It's like, and like, Feeny, this whole episode, I love this episode. I think it's very funny and I really enjoyed watching it. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the overall moral of the story, whatever, is very flawed. Like, I think that it doesn't really send the right message, right? Like, Corey and Sean are using the grapes of wrath in this, in the moral of this, that story, to kind of say, like, we're going to unionize, like, the people of the book unionized and rebel against, like, the man, right?
Right.
The boss, yeah. Feeny.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're in the cafeteria and they're, like, talking about macaroni. We want steak. And what do we want it with? Lobster.
Yes.
And, like, all this crazy talk.
Serving turf for lunch is very heavy.
Yeah, especially I don't want cafeteria steak and lobster. No, thank you. But Mr. Turner just wants them to, like, let them burn out, like, let them cool off. And of course, Feeny is like, I'm going to flex. I need to, like, whip my dick out and show them who's boss. And I have a fucking megaphone.
So. When you bring out the megaphone, you know you're doomed.
Seriously. And he's like, we're going to cancel. And this is what really grinds my gears. This is just one class. This
I know.
Like 20 kids.
And I
he's
know.
Like, we're going to cancel the entire seventh grade dance. First Not of all, fair. What did those other seventh graders do?
Nothing. I know. There's probably like 200 seventh graders. And this is a class of 15.
Yeah.
And they're all
the entire football season is canceled.
And that no affects the entire school.
Yeah. No it cheerleaders. And Sean freaks out.
Yeah. He's like, my girls.
Yeah.
Let's sacrifice Corey instead.
His voice cracks, which I loved. And Feeny's like, okay, you have 1 minute of amnesty and you have 5 seconds, like starting 55 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And Corey's like, oh, well, they can't punish the class if there isn't one. And him and Sean leave, but everybody else stays.
Yeah. Everyone else is like, it's not worth it. Like, we are not unionizing. Let's go mm-hmm. back to class. Sean and Corey are still, you know, with their
striking. I don't think they're picketing because they would have had to have signs.
Well, I imagine them, like, going to the art class and, like, making signs and, like, running outside with their little, yeah. like, but, yeah. So, Feeny says, like, he's going to call their moms.
Mm-hmm.
So, typical.
I just think this is so, like, do you think, I just feel like that Feeny is very insecure about being the new principal. And so, he really wants to, like, flex his muscles and be, like, we're going to come down extra hard on, like, honestly, is it a coincidence that it's Sean and Corey's class? No. Like, Feeny is just making good on his promise to be on freaking
their
Sean,
asses.
Like, fly on yeah. shit. You know what I mean? Like, he is just up their dicks constantly. And it's just annoying to me. Like, I love Feeny as a character. Trust me. I think he's great. But I just think, like, sometimes it's a bridge too far.
Yeah.
And this is an example of that.
I think that Feeny is an established educator of 35 years, and he should have more faith in his methods that got him to where he is today. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Back so at we're home. Back to. No, we're not there yet.
Just Are kidding. We? We're not back
yeah,
at
no,
home.
Yeah, no, we're not there yet because Eric asks Jason how the game went and they lost. Desiree arrives and she wants to go to the new mall across from the old mall on Thursday.
Yes.
And that's when the game is, of course. And Eric finally grows a pair and is like, you know what, Jason? I'll see you at the game on Thursday. Yeah. And Eric says he's been a slave. What was I ever going to get? And Desiree gives him like this huge kiss and there's like this music in the background and it's this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably some phantom woos from the audience.
Yes. And I love her line of goodbye forever. Like yep. I need to start using that. Goodbye forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't sound as cool too. When I say it, but
yeah.
What's better, my Graham's accent impression or my Desiree impression?
Absolutely. Your Desiree accent. I'm really moved by it.
Yeah, I'm practicing. I'm getting good practice.
I'm pretty jealous, actually. I'm not, as you know, I'm not very good at accents.
There's a thing in your brain, they say, that, like, there's, like, a part of your brain that if, I don't know, like, there's a certain part of your brain that controls whether you're good at, like, accents.
Yeah.
And some people just have it and some people don't.
Apparently, I wish I had it. It's so much fun. I have my friend who has, like, an unbelievable Australian accent, and mm-hmm. it just like floors me, mm-hmm. floors me every time. But no, I just have one voice, can't really control it. even if I do, then it's still, it does not sound right. So yeah. whatever, it is what it
I
is.
I mean, it'd be nice to have like a, like, I mean, we're both from the Northeast, right? Like, we both yeah. don't have, like, the best accents that anybody has ever heard. Like, no one's ever like, I wish I had an upstate New York accent. Like, nobody says that.
Somebody in the last month did compliment my accent, so I'm holding that to my grave.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess so. That's pretty rare.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is pretty but, rare. But yeah, huge kiss, a big whopping kiss. Jason yes. calls Eric an idiot.
And I love this because Jason could have been like, oh man, you're the best. We're the best of friends. Instead, he's just like, you're a moron. Like, you're yeah. stupid.
Yeah. So Corey's home now. He's like mm-hmm. watching the news. He's like convinced that like his stupid little 2% walkout is going to be on the news, as if like not happening. Mm-mm. Amy and Alan come in to the room, the living room. Sean's there too, by the way. And, you know, they just got off the phone with Feeny. Big shocker. And it's like, you know, it's like a typical, like, what were you thinking? Like, why yeah. are you doing this? Amy hits Sean. So another hit. Amy, stop hitting. Stop yeah. smacking.
It's enough.
Stop it. I'm over it, Amy.
And I really stop liked hitting. Her this episode up until that point, you know?
Sean's not your kid to hit, number one.
Yeah.
And
also, you shouldn't be hitting kids anyway.
No, like, you should not be hitting yeah. your husband, your kids. Like, stop hitting. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. Why is it like season two is like, we're going to hit everybody now?
I don't know. We need to have a hit count.
I mean, every episode there's a yeah. little bit of a smack. I don't like right. it.
Well, we're on episode 4, so we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah.
Mr. Turner arrives.
Yeah, Mr. Turner. Yeah, helmet. Mr. Turner arrives. I love
her. She's like, what do you need a helmet for? And he's like, I fall off the desk.
He's hot and funny.
Except his outfits this episode. Like, he's not in Fashion Hour, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But like, I love the like button down with tie with jeans. Like, I love that cash look.
Yeah.
But like the his shirt pattern was yes. awful.
I know.
Truly hideous.
Yeah, he got that shit at Goodwill.
I did. That is like $3, right? A bargain bin.
Yeah.
But I love the brown jacket on him. The leather yeah. jacket. Ooh. Mm, yum. Anyway. Yeah, he arrives and he's like, he's basically like, I felt like, and I love this for him. Like, he's like, I felt like I needed to be involved and be here because, like, this was my fault. Like, this was in my classroom. I need to take responsibility. But, like, what pisses me off is he doesn't even say the whole thing that happened.
Right.
He's just like, oh, you guys didn't go on strike. You threw a hissy fit. You don't have a job. You're just kids. You sleep on sheets with dinosaurs. And, like, Corey corrects him and says, like, rockets.
Yeah, it's rockets. I mean, I get what he's saying. Like, the point of the book is that the people that were, you know, the Jodes were trying to, like, what were they trying to do?
They were trying to, like, unionize to get money for their labor. And, like,
exactly.
He's saying that, like, oh, well, your kids, like, you can only take action if you're ready for the responsibilities.
Yeah, but the in consequences my mind, of your actions.
Yeah. Not everything is going to be as big as, like, a bunch mm-hmm. of people being used as, like, servants and not getting paid fair wages. Like, there are still small injustices in the world. And I feel like
that's
you
a great
should
point.
Teach. That's what I'm saying. Like, you should teach kids to stand up for what's right. Maybe that's, in this case, a situation where their teacher lies to them, tells them there's not going to be a test, and turns around and backstabs them with a test. To me, that is still an injustice and still worth, maybe it's not worth, like, striking and walking out of class for, mm-hmm. but it's worth having the discussion about. And I feel right. like they overcorrected, right? You can still yeah. say, don't walk out of class, mm-hmm. but, like, you were right. Like, we shouldn't have done that to you. But instead, they're just like smack on the wrist, you know?
Yeah. I think that the thing is that, you know, when you have to stand up for yourself in these situations where you have to unionize or you have to, you know, fight to the big guy, you have to realize that you could, you know, face the consequences. There might be, you might get fired. Like, remember when Alan wanted to speak to his boss about people, their
melon head.
Yeah, the melon head. He knew that, like, if he spoke to his boss, he might get fired. Like, that's a consequence. But it's ultimately, like, knowing your worth and knowing what you deserve and standing up for what's right. Even if that means that there could be some sort of loss in result of it. But, yeah, so I think that the kids I don't think there's anything wrong with your with standing up for small injustices. I think that's very well said. I do think that they didn't fully grasp the material and the the historical context on why it was important that the Jodes unionized and were fighting for their rights or
and the thing is the pay is like to me. Deserve. It's like maybe they would have understood it if they had had a class discussion on it rather than a test.
Yeah, and that's what's frustrating. True. That's a great point. Yeah.
You know, like, and so then they go outside and because Turner realizes that Feeny lives next door and he's like, "Woo, that's rough." And
he's like, "You live next to the principal," and Alan was like, "Not something we brag about."
Yeah. And so they go outside and basically like Feeny ends up quizzing them on the material without them really knowing that he's quizzing them. And so he dismisses them and he admits that like they obviously read the material. We'll call it a learning experience. And I just think like you could have, and I understand like you're saying you can't necessarily do that very easily with like 20 kids, but like pair them off into pairs and have them discuss the material back and forth and check in on them. You know what I mean? Like there's a way to do it without making them take a test, and that would have avoided this whole situation. And I think a lot of times we see that it's like, you know, Corey and Sean are obviously in the wrong, or so-and-so is obviously in the wrong. When this side, it's like, I feel like both sides messed up, and I feel like it was only the kids that got in trouble, and that, like, annoyed me a bit.
Yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Mr. Turner and Feeny were definitely in the wrong. I do want to say, like, it's really underrated that we had a scene with Alan and Mr. Turner at the same time. Yeah. It's like, hello, I'm cooked. Yeah. I'm done.
The amount of zaddy in this room is too much. The thirst is real.
The thirst was definitely real. I loved that, and I liked they kind of had like the same vibe. Like they could be friends. I can totally see them like hanging out, being friends.
I totally could see that too. And I think like, I mean, we didn't talk too much about it, but like we talked about, I think last episode, like I really love the inclusion of Mr. Turner as like another person teaching them life lessons, because season one we talked was very Alan heavy, like very father son heavy. And I'm really enjoying, I mean, even Amy, I mean, she didn't have like a huge role in this episode, but like, I like the inclusion of more characters getting in there, you know, and I love having someone who can fight against Feeny that's not a kid. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Mr. Turner and Mr. Feeny are really fun to watch have scenes together.
Right, right. It's, once again, it's new school versus old school, like new teaching message, new teaching methods versus old teaching methods. Both are valid in their own right, but, you know, I think that ultimately there can be, and I think that's the ultimate lesson between the two of them, is that, you know, you can take a little bit old and new, and, you know, both are, you know, a good a combination is, you know, made for fuller learning or whatever teachers
say. No, I totally know what you mean. Yeah, you can do a combination of both things and find a good teaching method in there.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, and then we have the after credits scene.
This is drama.
So much drama. Eric's ready to play basketball. Jason's beeper goes off and in comes Desiree. And apparently Desiree and Jason are together and she calls him my little raisinette. say yes, pudding.
Yeah, we got another say yes pudding.
I love that.
I believe the woman wants pudding.
I love this because that Jason's like, I'm only in it for the breakup kiss.
Yeah. Which I thought was funny. Do like how like Eric isn't mad. He's just like very smug. Like he become like, you stole my girlfriend. Like, how dare you? Like
neither of them took it very seriously.
No, he's like, you're fucking doomed. Good luck with that and have a good time.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I thought that was a great way to end the episode. This was a great episode. I mean,
it was a good episode.
For as much as I had a problem with some of the like moral choices and what the messaging was, I really enjoyed the episode in general.
Yeah, I did too. Do you want some feedback?
Yes, absolutely.
So our friend Matt Stewart wrote in. Hope you're doing well, Matt. Hey, Sarah and Jess, a few questions for me and Mr. Jode. First off, why didn't Mr. Turner just say the test wasn't worth any marks? Oh, you and they yes! did. And if they did, well, no more tests. It proves to Feeny that that doesn't really break the students' trust.
Me and Matt, same page.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It does. So easy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were Sean and Corey right to go on strike, or were the adults right that they have no right to? So we discussed that a lot. I think it's a little bit of both. I think that Corey and Sean got their point. I do think that a part of me feels like Corey's just in it to kind of make a scene and not, he cares kind of about the test, but he cares more about making a scene, have the eyes on him, I think that he likes being the funny guy, so and Sean's like in it for like a chill.
He's like a yes man. He's along for the ride.
Is Jason dating Desiree grounds to end the friendship? So on normal circumstances, I would say this is a big deal, dating your friend's ex. But Desiree's a psychopath, as much as we love her. And I think that, like we just said, like Eric's probably like, good luck and Godspeed.
Yeah, I don't think like, I mean, we know that he didn't clear it with Eric before he went out with Desiree based on
Eric's reaction. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think like, I mean, he probably should have at least cleared it with him. But like, I really enjoyed that neither one of them were like upset. Like in a dramatic show, it would have been like a whole storyline, right?
Oh, yep. We'll see that on Dawson's Creek. That's on the horizon.
I liked how they just blew past it. I mean, I think like, yeah, of course it's bad on Jason, but I think Eric would have done the same thing. So I think at least they're on a level playing field.
Right. Which of you is more like Desiree in a relationship? Okay, I gotta say that
you are
because I am, I always,
you're the Eric,
I'm the Eric, I always treat my man like the king Sultan. That he thinks that he is. I call him Sultan. He graduated to Tsar, but
goodness. No, I'm definitely more, I'll say I'm the Desiree, but I'm not Desiree, but I am more like Desiree than you are in that, like,
yeah,
like last night I was laying in bed and like my stomach just wasn't feeling right, and I was like, oh well, can you go grab me Tums, and he'll go get them, like, you know what I mean, like, it's not, I'll ask him to do things and if he'll do them, because if he asked me to do something I would do it too, because we're, you know, married and we care about each other.
The only things that I ask Drew for is water and to get my phone, and that's the only thing. Pretty much. And that's usually because like I always wait until like he gets up, and then I'm like,
then you're like, can you go
get
this?
I'm like, can you get that? Or yeah, like
usually we do the game of like, Will, I'm already sitting on the couch, Will is coming towards the couch, and I'm like, oh wait, before you sit down, can you go grab like this one real quick?
Because he's I've never done that, but yeah, sometimes I use like, the dogs are on me, like I can't possibly get up, like we can't move the baby, like stuff.
I do the same thing if Winston's on either one of us, that's grounds for not having to get up and get whatever the other one needs. 100%, that is grounds for not getting up.
Yeah. And then
it's like, I can't disturb him. He's so precious.
No, you can never disturb the babies. And then Matt ends the email. This is going to upset you, Matt. I'm sorry, because I think Jess already did a sneak peek. But Turner walking into the Matthews house with the jacket and the helmet has got to be in the fashion hour.
Yeah, it's not just because I hated the rest of his outfit. Like, honestly, I could do it as an honorable mention because I do have space, because I yeah. just didn't find that many other outfits. So we can do it as an honorable mention. If you pick it, you pick it. We'll throw that in just for Matt because we love Matt so much and he sends in such great feedback.
Yeah, that one's for you, Matt. So yes. Now let's...
Speaking of that fashion hour.
Speaking of fashion hour.
It is time. Fashion hour. Okay. We are starting off with the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. Starting off the episode very strong was a very 90s outfit from Amy. She is wearing black leggings with like white socks that are bunched up around the ankle like she's about to work out. A super baggy, oversized, like off-white, grayish crew neck sweatshirt. Like it looks like two sizes too big. She yeah. has her hair pulled back in a super messy low pony and a scrunchie. Yeah, and of course she has
a scrunchie.
Gotta have a scrunchie. And she has like a bandana around her forehead for like ultimate workout material. What do you think of this outfit from
Amy? I mean, she looks like a slob lob. Like she's like a hot freaking mess. Like it looks like she hasn't like put a comb through her hair in like a week. Like this is like a I don't care about anything Amy. Like I've never seen Amy this undone in our one season and four episodes. It is, I guess, I mean, the scrunchie is very 90s. The scrunchie, mm-hmm. the scrunched up socks is 90s. Like, she is giving me 90 vibes. But I am just shocked. Like, Amy, like, remember, like, you used to dress like a hot bitch. Like, what is happening, girl? Like, this is not going to get you on Baywatch the Next Generation.
No, but the thing is, like, this is such relatable content. Like,
yes.
This is yep. such relatable content. Like, this is me every day of quarantine.
Me
like,
on a oversized Sunday.
Oversized sweatshirt. Yep. Exactly. Yep. Oversized sweatshirt and leggings or yoga pants. Like, girls got it going on. The only thing I can't connect with is the hair. Just because, like, even on a bad day, I don't know that my hair looks this bad.
No. Well, I mean, my hair does look that bad sometimes, actually.
She just needs a haircut. No offense, Amy. Like, it's just, it's not, the style's not there for you.
No. I'm not feeling her hair recently.
No. No, but moving on, next option is Jason's basketball attire. Another sweatsuit outfit. That was a very sweatsuit heavy outfit.
Oh, yeah. Everybody had athletic wear, basically. Yes.
He is wearing, we have another crew neck sweatshirt. I think the arms are just pushed up on it rather than being like cut off at the elbow. It's kind of like a navy, but almost like a denim, like kind of like a washed out navy color. Mm-hmm. And then on the bottom is where it gets crazy because he has on gray sweatpants. Over top of these gray sweatpants, he has on like dark navy shorts. Mm-hmm. And I remember this being a thing in the 90s. And then, of course, Jason, you can't not talk about Jason's hair because he has like the typical 90s, like it's not a mullet, but it's almost a mullet
right.
type of thing going
Very
on.
Very poofy. Yeah.
Very poofy.
Jason looks like the eggplant emoji. it's a look. My favorite part is Desiree's hot pink beeper that he's holding in one of the pictures.
Yeah.
And that's not even technically part of his outfit. I think like Eric was wearing like shorts and top of sweatpants later in the episode too. I guess this yes. was popular back then. I pretty much hate it, but I think it was popular.
Yeah, no, I definitely think this was like a thing that people did. And so that's why I chose Jason just because I thought his hair more was representative of the 90s. Very 90s, than Eric's
yeah,
was.
Yeah.
So that's why I chose him. And plus, like, Jason, it's about time Jason was in one of the fashion hours. So
yes, yeah.
And then the last outfit for the Rachel Green Award is Miss Desiree. This was her I need a glass of water outfit.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in like, would you call this a velour skirt?
I would.
It is a velour and it is an ugly color. It is like pea green, but like almost lighter than
pea
green.
I think it's supposed to be champagne-y or gold.
But it's darker
actually.
Than champagne.
But yeah. I think it's like the fact is like with velour, like you press it one way and it's one color and you press it yeah. the other way and it's another color and you can yeah. see like where the light catches it. It's actually like a goldish color.
So yeah, maybe but it's supposed to be like champagne gold, but
I think
it's
that's
like
what it is, but it has green undertones. Yes.
Yes. And it's very high-waisted skirt. It's a mini skirt. She also has on like a white like tank top underneath. Mm-hmm. On top of that, very much giving me Clueless vibes.
Clueless.
Yes.
Or I even thought, like, doesn't our girl Rachel Green wear like the meshy see-through top?
She definitely does. So it's like a button down see-through top over top of this white tank top, and it's all tucked into this velour skirt. And then she has on pretty opaque white tights. And then her signature curly hair, which, you know, I love.
Yeah. Yeah. This outfit is, it's fire. Like, it's really, I love, it's definitely goes along with the Clueless vibes. Mm-hmm. I think that she looks great. I like the velour skirt, and I like that it's like so high-waisted, but so short. Like, there's so much thigh, but it looks like she doesn't look like promiscuous because there's so much fabric, you know what I mean? Yes. I mean, this is a look, and she knows that she's a baddie, that's for sure.
She
comes
definitely
in like rules the house.
She does. She rules the fucking roost. This, she's a bad bitch, we all know. Who would you like to give the Rachel Green award to?
I give it to Desiree.
Okay, I saw that coming, but you know what,
Desiree.
She deserves it.
Yeah, she does.
Desiree. Okay, moving on to the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness for the most timeless outfit of the episode. We're starting off here with Corey. This is his unionizing outfit. He has on a light denim jean, a red t-shirt, and like a red and blue plaid shirt over top. I've been really liking Corey's outfits this season. They're much better than season one.
Love it. I love Corey's upgrade. Like, thank freaking goodness. Like,
he had a glow up.
Yeah, definitely has a glow up. And I think that this is probably the age that I started watching Boy Meets World, because this version of Corey, like, this age seems like very like what a young Sarah was crushing on. So I think that this is just like his vibe. Like, he's confident in this episode. Yeah. He's like ruling the world. I like that. I like this flannel or button down shirt. Mm-hmm. Red looks really good on him.
Red is his color.
Red's definitely his color. He has like this like nice watch that he's wearing. I light wash jeans, but we can't get away. It's impossible.
It's fine. You know, It is like we said, it's the 90s. We expect a light wash jean, so it's fine. Yeah. But yes, moving on. Next up, I have this is Eric's outfit at the end of the episode when he finds out that Jason is dating Desiree. Another light wash denim, as we expected. But I really liked his sweater. I thought it was kind of like almost like a Bill Cosby sweater.
Yeah, it's a Bill Cosby sweater.
No,
sis.
I'm not saying I would want to wear it.
Appropriate for a 15-year-old boy.
No, but it's very 90s. And I think he's wearing a turtleneck.
This is not this is timeless. You got the wrong category, ma'am.
Oh, right. Ah, whatever. I still think it works.
I'm not even humoring.
You know what? Then we're gonna substitute Mr. Turner's leather jacket in.
I don't even have that clip in here.
That's fine. You know what it looked like. Anyway,
he looked great. He looked hot, but
yeah. Well, then just picture him. You know what he looked like. He was wearing a brown leather jacket.
I'm channeling the hotness. Let me see it. Oh, I see it. Oh, I like the helmet underneath the arm. That was really sexy. Oh,
the way he walked in with that helmet under his arm. Swag, so much swag for days.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I bring my helmet in with me? Oh, well, let me just explain. I ride a motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, you're asking about this thing? It's my helmet. Yeah, it's fine.
So just we'll substitute him in. We all know what he looks like because he's a zaddy.
Yeah.
Because we see him in our dreams. Moving on. The last and final outfit, and we can agree to disagree if this is timeless or not, but I just thought it seriously, again, Clueless vibes, which I know is 90s, but literally I would wear this because it's so fucking iconic. Desiree is back. She is in both like sections of the Fashion Hour Awards because she's iconic. This is her final scene outfit where she's dating Jason. She is wearing an ensemble, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
She is wearing a like top and bottom red and like a greenish plaid, and this outfit fucking kills. It is like a it's like shorts that are high-waisted with a cropped like a suit jacket with shoulder pads and a deep, deep V. She's like, let me unbutton that top button or maybe a couple more. And she pairs it with these fucking thigh-high black socks. This bitch. And she's wearing a choker because she just needs to do it.
Yeah. This bitch. Oh, my God. It is. This outfit is just everything. Mm-hmm. I love that it's like this two-piece. I love these shorts that are, once again, high-waisted but short as hell, showing off her legs. She is ruling the school. You know, Black Widow vibes, taking out like each and every junior, slashing it with her with her amazing looks. I mean, I'm telling you, like, this is everything. She is a bad bitch and she wants you to know.
Yeah, this bitch, again, she fucking rules everything. And I'm sorry, yeah, but like, can we bring back the thigh high socks? Like, those are so good.
Yeah, thigh-high socks are really good. I want to know what the shoe situation is. But
I know. Yeah, can we just talk? I think it's like, we have to imagine it's like a booty.
Yeah, of some I see sort, that. Yeah, I see right? that. Is yeah. it black too?
I think it has to be black, yeah.
Okay. Then, and I mean, the choker is a look. It's like this woman is ready to paint the town red.
Fuck yes. And here's the thing. In an episode without Topanga, we needed a fashion icon, and that was Desiree.
Yeah, Desiree is our fashion icon. No doubt she is sweeping both categories this week.
Oh, this bitch. This bitch did it.
Yep, she did it. Of course she did. I mean,
she's a fucking bad bitch. There's she's nobody the reason else. They have that song, Bad Bitch. Desiree. Yeah. It was about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations, Desiree. You fucking did it, you bad bitch. So proud of you.
Fucking did it.
Honorable mention to Jonathan Turner, who's forever zaddy.
Yes. Very zaddy. Love him mucho. Yes. That's for sure.
This is a great episode.
Yeah, it was a very good episode.
It was good. It had great fashion. I love an episode with good fashion.
Me too.
Yeah.
Obviously. Makes me excited. Yeah.
So super excited next to talk about season 2, episode 5.
Yeah.
If you have feedback, send that shit in.
Yeah, send the feedback in. I would love anybody to send us feedback to @shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram, or @shit90spod@gmail.com. If you would like to write a 5-star review on iTunes, that would be amazing. I did want to read something from Cody L. Patterson. He wrote us this really, really amazingly sweet review that honestly, it like touched me.
Well, it's International Women's Day, and so that made it even like better that shouted us out. Like, freaking, you know what, Desiree, you're a badass bitch on International Women's Day.
Oh, yes, so happy International Women's Day to you, Desiree. Yes. So, Cody writes on this. Hashtag International Women's Day and hashtag Pod Rev Day, I want to say that these two ladies are tackling the big issues of 90s TV sitcoms, dramas, and movies. 90s TV shows taught us many things, and they look at how one specific show, Boy Meets World, teaches us how people born in the 90s view issues of the 90s impact us today. You can be a stan of Corey, Topanga, Sean, or you can be thirsty for Mr. Matthews or Mr. Turner. This podcast is for you. I loved that. So nice. I was obsessed with it, this comment. Thank you so much. If you guys want to send us in a 5-star review for my B day, that would be incredible. It helps us a lot with, I don't know, algorithm.
I think that's it just brings our podcast more like close to the top when people search things like 90s TV or Boy Meets World or Dawson's Creek. So we really would appreciate it. You know, we don't do this like for everybody. We do it because we have fun. We do it because we enjoy talking about 90s stuff with each other. But like, it's always great to hear feedback that, you know, you're doing well or we like what we're hearing type of thing. So
yeah, absolutely.
If you have anything to say, feel free, definitely. And We have like so much coming up. Like,
yes,
an insane amount coming up. We just recorded our Mary-Kate and Ashley bracket, which will be out by the time this podcast is released. So that was with TikTok Nicole. Such a fun time. Two-ish hours of content talking Mary-Kate and Ashley. Definitely give that a listen. We spent so much time preparing for it. That's a bit ridiculous. So please listen. So our time wasn't wasted.
Yeah, very excited to release that. And that's just the first podcast on the horizon of Mary-Kate and Ashley March. So, you know, stay tuned for what's on the horizon next. What else, Jess? What are you up to?
I have community building coming up on Saturday. Super exciting. We're talking season one, episode five, Football, Feminism, and You. I'm really excited actually because we're having on Matt and Jen. They're both really well known in like the community podcast verse. Super excited because Jen is a big Annie fan like myself. So like I'll have backup now.
The club is the Stanny clan.
Yes,
yeah, they're the coming together.
So she'll be on. I'm so excited for that. And also, actually, I'm going to be on Twitch on Rob Has a Podcast. It's going to be bad, guys.
Good luck.
I'm not good with trivia. Will is definitely the one who's better versed in Survivor trivia. He's working. He's not going to be home. I'm going to be on my own here. I'm doing it for the funsies. I'm not good at trivia. I'm not good at names and dates. So watch me. It'll be fun to watch me bomb. It's going
to
be great. So
yeah, I'm excited.
What about you, Sarah?
I'm excited to watch that. I'm not quite sure when it's coming out, but I did have, I don't know if you guys know, I think I like talk about it often enough that I'm a fan of all things monarchy and royal family. So watching the Oprah special with Meghan and Harry was like basically my Super Bowl. And I had arranged a little podcast with Sasha Joseph, who is a member of the RHAP 2020 league. What is it?
Class of 2020. The league.
So, you know, stay tuned. You know, follow our social media. We'll update you when that comes out. And it is not going to be, I don't think, what am I saying? I don't know. It's going to be on a podcast catcher near you. So just stay tuned.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll definitely be plugging in on our social media when it comes out. So
I don't mean to be awk. I just like don't know all the details yet.
No, of course. It's coming out. Everybody's going to listen and it'll probably be out. It'll be out on some form on the RHAP network. So keep your eyes peeled. We'll definitely tweet, retweet all of that nonsense so you guys can see it.
Yeah.
Super
great at plugging
exciting.
My own shit. Good job, man.
Super awesome. I can't wait to listen. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Especially because I just watched The Crown. So now I feel like I'm like caught up, like I'm ready.
Yes, yes, yeah.
it couldn't have been better timing.
I know. I made like a list randomly of like my top 10 interests, and like my number one, like in no order, but like my main interest was like
the royals.
Yeah. So definitely my vibe for
sure.
What do
you think my number one interest is?
Golden retrievers.
Yeah, I was gonna say Winston, but that's ding ding ding. She nailed it, folks. She nailed it.
Yep.
Anyway, so we hope you guys get a chance to check all that stuff out, and obviously we have a lot more coming up as well, so keep listening. We'll be plugging more stuff later on. Thank you all for joining us today, and we'll be talking to you next time. Boy Meets World, Dawson's Creek, more Mary-Kate and Ashley. So have a good day. Bye everybody. Bye.
Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.